Now going to call Elder Philip Woods to the front. He will be giving a charge to our two new deacons, and I will call Ryan Nash and Jed Park to the front so they can receive their charge.
Well, brothers, it is with very great joy that I have the privilege of addressing you both this morning. Since I've kind of come to know you both fairly well over the years. Jed, I've come to know you as a man that does not take lightly what you find in the Word of God, even if it requires a major life change. I've also found you to be a good father, husband, and friend, and a fairly decent poet. My wife frames everything of sentimental value and hangs it on a wall somewhere in our house. And in the providence of God, last night as I was sitting at my desk, I looked up to find your poem sandwiched in between my own certificate of ordination and Hannah's Community Service Award. And Ryan, among other things, I've come to know you as a man of your word. I remember in the summer of 2004, you visited Reformed Heritage Church, saying that, I think the last thing I heard you say that morning was, we'll visit again when we move here. Well, as I was going through my computer files last night, I found the letter that I'd written to you a few months after that, basically outlining the changes that had taken place at the church since you left. There were basically three things that I mentioned to you in the letter. One, that we had moved and were officially homeless, but for the mercy and the hospitality of the Burning Points congregation. Two, we left the PCA. And three, we called a pastor, and you can find his writings on the Auburn Avenue website. I wasn't quite sure what your response would be, but undeterred, you kept your promise, and indeed, as we can see today, you did return. Jed and Ryan, the session of this church has examined you and found you to be competent to serve the office of deacon. This congregation, by electing you to this office, has shown confidence in you and a desire for you to serve this congregation. And since you're sitting before us this morning and having a chance to run away and have not, we assume that you have a desire to serve this congregation in the office of deacon. Therefore, all of us here rejoice in the fact that God has indeed called both of you to serve as officers of Trinity Presbyterian Church. So, now that you've been called, what are we asking you to do? Well, you're quite aware that our newly adopted constitution outlines 10 primary duties of the diaconate. And I would like to take a moment this morning to just go over those 10 duties that we are asking you to perform in your office of deacon. We're asking you to take special care in mercy ministries and in meeting the needs of the poor, the immigrant, the prisoner, the fatherless, and the widow. First within the household of God, and second in the world. To befriend the friendless, to care for those in distress, in times of illness, bereavement, or other adversity after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. To disburse funds from the church treasury on behalf of the session, to encourage the rest of the church's membership to excel in hospitality and benevolence, ministering to one another and to those outside the church in deed as well as word. To assist the music ministry of the church as needed and as you are able. To teach the flock and evangelize the lost as needed and as you are able. To assist in the distribution of the Lord's Supper and collection of the tithes and offerings. To assist in the church's liturgical feasts and fellowship meals. To make recommendations to the session about budget and property, stewards of the church's resources. And to care for and maintain the property of the church. And obviously, Rod, Jerry, and Carl are quite glad to have some assistance in that list. Shortly, you'll be asked 6 questions, and you'll be asked to take 6 vows. These are grave vows taken before Christ in His church here this morning. Vows that cannot be set aside, but will guide you in the daily service, your service to this church. Pastor Lutz will read each of these questions in a few minutes, but I want to focus on just one of them right now. question 4 of your vows says, ask the question, do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform all the duties thereof and to endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and to set a worthy example before the church of which God has made you an officer? There are two aspects of this question that form the basis of the charge that I'm delivering to you this morning. First is the question, do you promise faithfully to perform all the duties of the office? Please note that we are not asking you to successfully perform your duties. We beg you only to faithfully perform your duties. In Nehemiah 13:14, Nehemiah, having finished his work that God had given him to do, prays, remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out what I had so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services. J.I. Packer writes, Nehemiah's passion was for faithfulness. Whether he had been appointed for success, he did not know, but he knew that he had been called to be faithful in the word of his God in all things. Similarly, the Apostle Paul, in his somber last letter, as he anticipates his death, states, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul, too, does not know whether he has been a success or not. All he is sure of is that he has been faithful, holding fast to God's truth and righteousness when others let both go. Packer goes on to say, the point is that however much success we actually had, our calling was not to success, but to faithfulness, whatever our role in the body of Christ. Christ will build his church, using us as he wills, in ways that involve the appearance of triumph and disaster over and over again. Our part is not to let either appearance fool us, but to maintain an unflinching fidelity to the particular task and roles we know we have been given to fulfill, all for the honoring and pleasing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who by their joint action are the agents of the entire process. Jed and Ryan, I charge you to be faithful with all that God has entrusted to you. The second part of question 4 asks, do you endeavor by the grace of God to adorn the profession of the gospel in your life and set a worthy example before the church? 1 Timothy 3:8-15 provides a glimpse of the life that God has called you to live as an officer. I'd like to read those verses to you now. Deacons likewise must be of men of dignity, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Moving to verse 12. Let deacons be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing, great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, Paul says. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God and pillar and support of the truth. In his book, Practical Religion, J.C. Ryle writes, a zealous man in religion is preeminently a man of one thing. It is not enough to say that he is earnest, hearty, uncompromising, thoroughgoing, wholehearted, fervent in spirit. He only sees one thing. He cares for one thing. He lives for one thing. He is swallowed up in one thing. And that one thing is to please God. Whether he lives or whether he dies, whether he has health or whether he has sickness, whether he is rich or whether he is poor, whether he pleases men or whether he gives offense, whether he is thought wise or whether he is thought foolish, whether he gets honor or whether he gets shame, for all this, the zealous man cares nothing at all. He burns for one thing, and that one thing is to please God and to advance God's glory. Ryan and Jed, I charge you to be zealous and to please God in all things. May you both be faithful and zealous as you serve Christ in his church in the office of deacon at Trinity Christ. And by God's grace, may this congregation flourish under your leadership. leadership of service. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these men who sit before us today, for Ryan and Jed and their lives, for their families, for their willingness to serve this congregation, for the willingness to take on these duties that you have set forth for them. We thank you for their call. We thank you for the blessings that this church will receive through their ministry here. And Father, we pray that as they take on these additional duties, that you will allow them to have good balance within their lives, in the church, with their families, and with their work. And Father, we thank you for Sarah and Sally, with the helpmeets that they are to their husbands. And Father, we pray that you would gird both husband and wife up to take care in their work in this church, and may all be glorifying to you in all that they do. May their faithfulness and zeal be evident not only among this congregation, but in the community as a whole. In Christ's name, we pray this. Amen.